Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Calvin Corbett. So glad you're joining us today. We are beginning a brand new series today, and I'm calling it the series on the fruit of the Spirit. And somebody would call this like Christian smoothies, right? Moving and mixing all the fruit together. And the moment that you were saved, if you are listening to me today, you know Jesus as your Savior. You know the moment that you were saved, God gave you the fruit of the Spirit. And it's singular, fruit of the Spirit, because all of these characteristics that we're going to be talking about the next several weeks should apply to every believer. And so don't think that you don't have this particular fruit that we're going to talk about. Everybody has them who knows Christ. Watchman Nee said, many saints cannot distinguish inspiration from emotion. Actually, these two can be defined readily. Emotion always enters from the outside, whereas inspiration originates inside of the Holy Spirit in a man's spirit. So this fruit that we're going to be talking about the next several weeks is something that generates from the inside of you, given to you by the Spirit of God. C.S. Lewis said, the Spirit-filled life is not a special, deluxe edition of Christianity. It is a part and parcel of the total plan of God for His people. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26 today. And I am so glad that one day somebody shared the gospel with me. And I was saved as a six-year-old boy. I kind of was one of those people who were very blessed to be raised in the church and to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But I never had a zeal for leading people to the Lord until I went to Bible college, and then I went to Liberty University. And one of the guys that really helped me develop a love for the lost was a guy who has gone on to be with the Lord. His name is J.O. Grooms. I had J.O. Grooms for evangelism as a student at Liberty, and I remember we were in a class with about 500 people, and there J.O. Grooms is teaching us how to be evangelists, teaching us how to share our faith. And he did this thing called televangelism, and he would get on the phone, and he would randomly call phone numbers and put it on a speaker, and he would randomly just call these people, and as they picked up the phone, he just started sharing the gospel with them. I remember J.O. Grooms gave me that desire to teach and desire to share the gospel with people who don't know Christ. When we began our church back in 1997, I asked J.O. Grooms to come and do some evangelism with us and teach us as a church how to be evangelists and teach us how to go out and share the gospel. And I remember we were out one Saturday afternoon, we were knocking on some doors, inviting people to come to church, and we knocked on one door and I recognized the guy, and I almost said something, but I didn't. He knew me. I knew he. We knew each other. But J.O. just started going right into the plan of salvation. And he asked this man, have you ever done a study of John chapter 3? And that pastor kind of looked at him sideways and almost like he didn't know what he was talking about. And he says, John chapter 3 talks about a guy by the name of Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night. And he wanted to know how to have everlasting life. Have you ever experienced a new birth? That pastor just kind of looked at him sideways, and we started to share the gospel with him. And when he got through, the pastor said, oh, I've done that. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. As we walked away from that experience, I'll never forget what J.O. Grooms said to me. He says, that man is lost. He's never experienced a new birth. I want you to come back and see this man again. Well, you know, I never had a chance to go back to see that man again. And I often wonder, was he truly born again? You may be listening to this broadcast and saying, how do I know for sure that I'm born again? The Bible tells us in 1 John 5:13 that these things has God written unto us that we might know that we have everlasting life. You can know that you're born again if you have a love for God, you have a love for God's people. I think another way that you can know that if you're born again is because you have the fruit of the Spirit. If there's no fruit in your life, it's because you're not rooted in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives, and this is the kind of fruit it is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So here we see nine fruit of the Spirit. And as we look at these, the first three, to help you to memorize them, the first three are single-syllable words, love, joy, and peace. The second three are two-syllable words, patience, kindness, goodness. And then the last three are three-syllable words, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Paul says, against these there is no law. Those who belong to Christ, now get this, those who are followers of Christ, part of Christ, have nailed their old passions and the desires of their own sinful nature to the cross and have crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not be conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Well, as we see here, these nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives should be evident in every believer. When you think about Christ coming back again, it's not going to be too much longer until he comes back again. In Revelation 22, verse number 12, it says, "Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to have that tree of life, that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, the sexual immoral, the murderers and the idolaters, and everyone who loves to practice falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires to take of the water without a price. And here is a gift that is given to us. It's called salvation, and we are told that we are to partake of it, we are to consume it. If we're thirsty, we'll come to get a drink, and we'll get that water of life that is given to us freely. Now, it's not because it didn't cost anything. It didn't cost us anything. It cost Jesus' very life. So what does it mean as we look at this new series to be filled with the Spirit? You're not going to be a fruit-producing believer unless you are filled with the Spirit of God. So I want to begin talking about the fruit of the Spirit by giving us some introductory thoughts on what it means to abide in Christ. And so we're going to spell out a very simple word this afternoon, and it's the word abide, okay? Abide in Christ. John 15, 3 and 4. You know, you're already clean because of what the word has spoken to you. Abide in me, Jesus is speaking, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You see, once you cut a branch off of the vine, the branch starts to die. The vine will continue on okay, but the branch has been separated. 1 John 3, 24 says, we know by this, that he who abides in us and the Spirit whom he has given us. Abiding in Christ is not abiding in myself, it's abiding in Christ. When you think about these words here of fruit, we will produce fruit. Billy Graham said, if I were to live my life all over again, I would do something different. I'd study more, I'd preach less. I'd become more of having real fruit in my life. Abide in Christ. Now, one of the counterfeits of bearing good fruit is pretense. You know, we become experts at routine. We become experts at the lingo. You know, acting like a Christian. You know, if you've been to church any length of time, you know when to stand up. You know when to sit down. You know when to say amen. You know when to raise your hands. You know when to say hallelujah. You know how to, you know, a whole lot of things, right? Because you've gone and you're used to the lingo. You're acting like a Christian. But a man's heart that is changed will be producing fruit. We are called to be fruit-bearing Christians. When we love and desire and pursue and we reverence God, we will see him do great things in and through us. If we're not abiding in Christ, even though our lives may be filled with church-related activities, we are dead. Oftentimes, we don't realize that we're living fruitless lives. And so I'm hoping that this series of messages will help you to abide in Christ, will awaken you to being one who abides in Christ. Well, letter B, when we spell out the word abide, being constantly led by the Spirit. not by emotions, not even by reasoning. Sometimes reason can go contrary to what God wants us to do. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God," get this, "are the sons of God." You know, sometimes I've got to be honest. Sometimes I'm led by myself. Sometimes I'm leading others the way I think they ought to go. Sometimes I'm led by circumstances. Sometimes I'm led by events and conditions in my life. But all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So ask yourself this question today. What is my most prominent influencer in my life? What is the thing that I look at as the most prominent thing that is grabbing my attention? In 1914, not long after the sinking of the Titanic, Congress convened a hearing to discern what happened in another nautical tragedy. In January of that year, a thick fog off the coast of Virginia sent the steamship Monroe ramming into the side of a vessel, Nantucket, which eventually sank. 41 sailors lost their lives in that frigid winter waters off the Atlantic. Well, on that ship was the captain. The captain arranged to have changes of his course, and Captain Edward Johnson was grilled on the stand for over 5 hours. During his cross-examination, it was learned, as the New York Times reported, that the captain navigated the Monroe with a steering compass that deviated as much as 2 degrees from the standard magnetic compass. He said the instrument was sufficiently true to run the ship and that it was the custom of masters in the coastwise trade to use such compasses. His steering compass had never been adjusted to the one year earlier on the master of the Monroe. The faulty compass that seemed adequate for navigation eventually proved otherwise. This realization partly explains the heart-rending picture recorded by the Times. Later, these two captains met, clasped hands, and sobbed on each other's shoulders. The sobs of these two burly seamen are a moving reminder of the tragic consequences of misorientation. The reminder for us is this: if the heart is like a compass, then we need to regularly calibrate our hearts, tuning them to be directed to the Creator, our magnetic north, being constantly led by the Spirit. Letter C, as we are to spell out the ABCs of abiding in Christ, we are to crucify the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will be put to death the deeds of the body, then you will live. Paul put it this way: if you are in Christ, you died. That elemental spirits of this world has taken over. But if you live in the Spirit, you will of life have everlasting. Being crucified with Christ, we no longer live under the law and the penalty of that law. As we have been crucified by Christ, we are new creations. When we're crucified by Christ, it means that we not only have a new creation, but we have a new love. We love things differently. Being crucified with Christ means that we have a new commitment. We're dedicated to serving the glory of God and dedicated to destroying selfishness and to be focused on family and friends and reaching them for the cause of Christ. Being crucified with Christ means that we have a new way of life. At one time, we followed the ways of the world, the ruler of this air, the spirit that is in this world, that spirit of disobedience, but now we are following Christ. So we've learned so far, as we are to abide in Christ, going through the ABCs of abiding in Christ, is that A, we abide in Christ. B, we are constantly being led by the Spirit. C, we crucify the flesh. Letter D, be devoted to the Father. Romans chapter 8 tells us that we didn't receive that spirit of slavery to fall back into that fear. You know, as believers, going backwards is not an option. We are always to be moving ahead, always being devoted to the Father, because we have received that spirit of adoption. We are called the sons of God, children of God. That's why we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children and heirs of our fellow heirs of Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. When you think about being devoted to Father, how would you respond if your life one day revealed that you had cancer? Would you continue to be devoted to the Father? Would you open yourself up to the plan that he has for you and the pain that you are going through? One wife who got cancer said, I opened up myself to this pain. or I can shut myself off and I can go on. I decided to let the pain in. You know, 40 million people are dying of the incurable disease of cancer. You have an option. If sickness comes your way, would you be devoted to the Father? Would you trust Him in those times of trouble? Well, as we go down spelling the ABCs of being a Spirit-filled Christian, we must be one who is enmeshed in the Word. Ephesians 5 tells us, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. That is craziness. You ever think of how people act when they get drunk? They live a debased life, but we are told that we're to be filled with the Spirit. Just as alcohol takes over the person who consumes too much of it, the Spirit should take us over as we are filled with His Spirit. Paul tells us this is done by letting the word of Christ dwelling in us richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And a part of getting the Spirit is singing hymns and singing psalms unto the Lord, spiritual songs, with thanksgiving in your heart. So I want to ask you this Sunday when you go to church, will you be singing? As the worship team is up there, they have a band or a choir or however they do it in your church, will you be singing this Sunday? I want to let you know that if you sing praises unto the Lord, you are releasing God's word and you are blessing others. You know, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I'm so glad it didn't say, make a perfect song unto the Lord, because I couldn't sing. Many of you couldn't sing, right? We're told just to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I love singing back God's word to Him. You know, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Singing back to the Lord, praises, singing back to the Lord, His word, becoming enmeshed in God's word. It helps us to memorize God's word as we're singing it and putting it to song. Well, letter F, as we go through the ABCs of abiding in Christ and the ABCs of being filled with the Spirit of God, we are free and fulfilled as we serve. John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper would not come to you, but if I go, I will send Him to you. You think about God sending Jesus down on the earth, Jesus fulfilling His mission on the earth, dying on the cross, 3 days later, rising again, and then 50 days after that, the ascension on the day of Pentecost. Jesus says, as I ascend up to heaven, I'm going to send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to come. All believers who have been saved after the resurrection and the ascension of Christ have the Holy Spirit living within us. So, you know, it's futile for us to try to serve God without the power of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter how much talent you have, doesn't matter how much training you have. It's sad to say that you can go through the motions of being a follower of Christ, but you will not have the power of being a follower of Christ until you are free from your sins and you are set and you're ready to serve. Well, letter G, growing in holiness. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says that you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. I love that word, justified, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. You see, goodness can endure a few moments. Holiness, however, is life-defining. It's great to go to worship and get our spirits lifted up, but if we are not living a holy life, that emotion will quickly wear off. It won't last us throughout the whole week. It may last us for an hour or two, but if we are deep-rooted in deciding to live a holy life, we will discover that that will give us life-defining purpose. Letter H, we find hope fills our hearts. Romans chapter 8 talks about this, and we say that all of creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope in what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Oh, I want you to know, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, all of the troubles that you are facing today, they will fade away if you have your hope in heaven. I can wait patiently upon the Lord because I know my future is bright. As you think about hope, hold on, pain ends. Don't lose your hope, my friend. When the sun goes down, the stars come out, you still have hope. You have a living hope, a blessed hope. God has a plan for you. Of this, I'm sure. We're told in Romans 15:13, and in this passage was just used yesterday at Indian Creek Correctional Center as we had a hope event. And at that hope event, we had several men pray to receive Christ. But in Romans 15:13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So here's my challenge to you today as we wind down today's broadcast. What area of your life does the Spirit need to control? What area? It may be an area that nobody knows about. You may be hooked, young man, or older man. You may be hooked on pornography. You say, I need to be set free from this. I have lost my hope because I have this stronghold in my life. Hey, would you come and join us at Celebrate Recovery? Hey, we'll protect your anonymity. We're not going to make fun of you for coming. We're not going to broadcast that you're coming. We want to just help you navigate through that addiction to the sexual sin of pornography. Maybe you're listening today, and there's another problem that you can't let go of. You can't release it. It's got a stronghold in your life. Hey, would you come and join us Sunday night, 6 o'clock, Hickory Ridge Community Church, Celebrate Recovery. We'll help you navigate through your hurts, your habits, and your hang-ups. Listen, God wants you to be free from your sins. We are no longer slaves of unrighteousness because He has set us free. God has given us this wonderful thing called the church, the family of God, to help us navigate through these difficulties. Don't try to go it alone. Come on and join up with us as you can be victorious over the sin that you're struggling with. You can be victorious over the hurts that you're feeling right now. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to look at what it means to be a Spirit-filled believer. Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Help us to give you glory and honor in everything that we say, do, and think, because you are truly King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.
Hello, my friend. This is Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. We are so excited to be sharing God's Word with you with hope for your heart. And as we conclude 2019 and we begin 2020, I wanted to give you an offer that I hope that you'll take advantage of. You know, through the years, several key devotionals have really helped me in my growth and helped me to be more like Christ. And one of those devotionals was by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is called the Prince of Preachers. And that devotional is called Morning and Evening with Charles Spurgeon. I would like to give you a copy of that devotional for the new year. And I'm just asking that you will read it every day for 365 days in 2020. Would you take this challenge? And if you will, all you need to do is just contact me. We have an email that is set up that you can send to me. It's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Let me give that to you again. Hope for your heart. It doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase, doesn't matter. Hope for your heart, no spaces, at HRCC and the number 7.org. You send me an email, give me your address, and I will mail you a copy of this devotional. If you'd prefer to send us correspondence through the regular mail, you can send something to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to call me at 757-421-7500, 757-421-7500. That is the church phone number. There'll be somebody there at the church Monday through Fridays, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If it goes into the voicemail, I'll get that message, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But you give me your name and your address, and I'll make sure that a copy of this devotional book, Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, will be put in the mail. And if you prefer, you can stop by the church and pick it up. If you live close by to the church, you just let me know, and we'd love to give this gift to you. I also wanted to encourage you to come and worship. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m.
We have many ministries for you to be involved in. If you need help getting past some hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we have a tremendous ministry called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. I'd be happy to tell you about the Awana ministry that we have. I'd be happy to tell you about our Ridge Student ministry that we have. We have a dynamic children's ministry. We do nursery and preschool. We also have an academy that goes from 6 weeks old all the way up through the 11th grade.
If you'd like more information about that, how you can have an affordable Christian education for your son or daughter, you reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you everything about it. And if I don't know the answer for the situations with the school, my wife just happens to be the school administrator, and she'll fill you in. And we would love to be a blessing to you, so feel free to reach out to us. And if you'd like to donate to our ministry, this is a brand new endeavor for us as a church. You are welcome to make a gift to this ministry. You write a check to Hope for Your Heart, and everything that you give would go toward the cost of broadcasting. And we thank you in advance for supporting this ministry, but I'd really like to hear from you. So take just a moment and reach out to us either through phone or email, or send us a letter in the mail, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you so much for listening to this broadcast. You are such a blessing to me, and you're more of an encouragement than you'll ever know. God bless you. I hope you have a prosperous new year.